This is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. Lines are open. And we just had a fantastic conversation with Ricky Romero, who is one of the great class acts that I have run into. Another of the great class acts, one of my favorite people, Devin Travis, joins me now from the home office. And Devin, again, thanks for doing this. You are you've never been on a non-playoff Blue Jays team until this year, and yet you're the only one who in 2016 actually did a Blue Jay A Day program. So thanks for the return engagement. We appreciate it a lot.
Hey, Mike, no problem, man. Always good talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Are you paying attention to these playoffs at all?
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't watched one game. I have no idea what's going on in any games. When the Blue Jays aren't in it, I have to shut the TV off, and I'm more so focused on watching football now. So I heard it's been great, though.
Yeah, there's been some interesting stuff, and there's some neat Blue Jays content in the playoffs as well, with the Brandon Morrow pitching so well for the LA Dodgers and some other things. You know, the Yankees came back from 2-0 down, just like you guys did against Texas in 2015. There's been some pretty exciting stuff, but I totally get how you're not watching it. And honestly, I've never really been able to figure out how someone who is in it can bear to watch that, especially, you know, the way the Blue Jays season went, a couple of breaks here or there. You've got the Astros playing the Yankees, and you guys were neck and neck in 10-9 against the Yankees, 3-4 against the Astros. You played these guys dead even. And I don't understand how it can't just tear you up to try to watch the game. So I totally get you not doing it.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, those are, you know, two fantastic ball clubs. And obviously the Astros have had this thing going for a little bit now. And, you know, I think that this really could be their year. You know, they have great starting pitching, obviously, with Correa and Altuve up the middle, Springer out in center field. You know, they're pretty strong everywhere. The Yankees, you know, this is kind of the beginning for them. You know, they got talent everywhere. They're young. Aaron Judge, obviously, the year he had is pretty incredible. And, you know, to come back down from that last series against, you know, the Indians, I don't think anyone really saw that coming. So, you know, when a team gets hot like that, and you know, they've already came back from 0-2 once. I don't see why they couldn't do it again.
You said this is just the beginning for the Yankees, and I know a lot of people feel that way, right? With Judge, with Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, a lot of these good young players on their way up. As a Blue Jay, is that kind of, I mean, scary's not the right word, but do you look at this team and think, geez, this is something we're going to have to deal with for a while?
You know, I think it's motivating, if anything. You know, you look, and obviously you look around the AL East, and, you know, the Yankees are strong. Boston's always strong. The Rays are always tough. The Orioles, every single year, you never know. You know, they can run out of any year and, you know, go ahead and win the AL East. So it's arguably the best division in baseball, and it's just exciting, you know, moving forward. You know, we have obviously a group of guys that are very talented. Our starting pitching is really strong. We're going to have Tulo back next year, Russ. Hopefully we can stay healthy. And we got a team. You know, I you know, a couple pieces here and there. And, you know, watch out. The Blue Jays are going to be back for sure.
Yeah, I certainly think so. It looks like it. And hopefully with Tulo and you up the middle, things will be awfully good. We certainly saw in the May you had just, and not that we didn't know what you can do, you know, your first month in the big leagues, your last month so far in the big leagues have been just phenomenal, with a lot of good stuff in between as well. I want to ask you about May, but not about you. I want to get you to talk about one of your teammates, because what I saw and what all of us saw from Jose Bautista in that month of May kept me thinking for the whole season that, you know, it's just a matter of time, and it's going to turn around, and he's going to turn it on, because we saw him do it in May where he was his old self for the 1 month. What did you see that month out of him? And was it the same sort of feeling that you think, man, this has got to come around after seeing him do that?
You know, Jose's a guy who, you know, puts so much pressure on himself because, you know, he expects, you know, to show up to the field every day and, you know, to do his job at the, you know, at the highest level. And I think what we've seen in May is Jose Bautista. You know, that's the Jose Bautista we're used to seeing. And, you know, it's a tough game. You know, it's hard for anybody. And, you know, to see someone like Jose go through struggles, it's definitely a little bit humbling. I think Jose's got more in the tank. I know how hard he works. There's not anybody in a clubhouse in America that, you know, keeps himself in shape like Jose does. So, you know, I'm excited for Jose moving forward. I know a lot of people think it's the end for him. And, you know, for me, I really hope that, you know, he, you know, the best somehow can be, you know, can be ahead one more year to go out there and, you know, show the world that Jose Bautista is still Jose Bautista.
Look, the best possible thing that happens is absolutely he goes out, he signs somewhere, and he has a tremendous first 4 months. You guys are playing well, and then at the deadline, the Blue Jays deal for him for the stretch run. That, for me, that's the best possible scenario that could happen, and that would be a lot of fun.
I'm with you. I don't want to play on a team without Jose. However, I understand how things go, and you know he's been a tremendous influence throughout my first 3 years of my big league career, and he's a fantastic teammate, an incredible human off the field, and I'm always going to hope for the best for that guy.
All right, we're with Devin Travis, and Devin has taken your phone calls, and the lines are open. I know that I just want to get the health stuff out of the way. I don't want people calling up and saying, how you feeling? How you're feeling is fine. We all care about you. But I don't want a barrage of how's your knee, what's going on, what's happening. So just just to get it out of the way here, how are you feeling? What's going on?
You know, this last month has obviously been really tough, and you know, having to watch the games on TV and from the bench on the DL, it's something, unfortunately, that you know that I've kind of learned to be. You know, it's a very familiar situation, I should say, and it's been really tough. My knee's been getting a lot better though over this past month. Every single day has been better and better. I truly did get so close to, you know, getting back out on the field, and I was so excited, and I truly thought I could have been a day, 2-3 days away. And unfortunately, I hadn't had a setback throughout my entire rehab, and I had my first one at a really bad time. So I'm seeing all the best doctors out there, and obviously I believe that Nikki Huffman is the best rehab trainer there is. So I'm excited going forward. I'm excited to have, you know, a little extra time to get ready, and I can't wait to be, you know, be ready to go in spring training. And I just want to play a full season in the big leagues. I want to be there for the team when it's most important, and that's down the stretch run. And I'm going to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah, we all want to see it. And Devin, I got to tell you, two guys whose names immediately pop into my mind when I hear, man, this guy can't stay on the field. He keeps getting hurt. What are we ever, you know, how's this guy going to have a big league career? First two names that pop into my head, Paul Molitor and Vladimir Guerrero, because that's all you heard about them the first 3-4 years of their careers.
Yeah, I definitely hope that's the case. I mean, I'm just really excited to be a part of a ball club and an organization that truly cares about the people and the players. And, you know, they want what's best for everybody. And, you know, that's really all you can ask for when you're in the big leagues, is to have people that care about you. And that's all this organization is surrounded by. So, I know I'm in great hands, and, you know, just I'm going to continue to pray and continue to work hard and continue to believe. And I look forward to going out there one day and showing everybody that I can play a full year in the big leagues healthy.
And we cannot wait to see it. We're with Devin Travis. He's taking your calls. All right, the health stuff is out of the way, so nobody needs to ask Devin about his knee, because he just told you. So let's start off. I got to tell you, Devin, as soon as I tweeted out this afternoon that you were coming on the program, this young lady tweeted about how excited she was, and I've seen at least 4 tweets from her since. So she's been waiting patiently.
That's awesome.
Antoinette is in Mississauga. Say hello to Devin Travis.
Hi, Travis.
Hi, Antoinette. Hi, Devin. How are you?
I sent you the emoji. Do you remember me?
Oh, yeah, to my locker.
Oh, my God, how are
that.
You?
Thank you for that.
Oh,
you're
so very
sweet.
Welcome.
I appreciate it. I'm good.
I missed you. My question is,
who was
the toughest pitcher you've had to face?
Oof.
That's a good one.
The toughest pitcher I had to face. You know, I've never really ever answer this question outwardly to anybody because I don't want anybody to know, but now seems like a good time. CC Sabathia for me is the toughest pitcher I've yet to face. He's just so deceptive. He does a great job locating. For some reason, he never seems to throw any pitches to me over the plate. And he's tough. He's tough. And obviously someone that I grew up watching. I'm just really happy that I have my struggles against him when his velo is down, because when he was 96 to 99, I couldn't even imagine.
He's pitching tonight for the New York Yankees. And you know what? I had to look it up, because as soon as somebody says who's the toughest pitcher, I want to see if it's actually true. And I hate to tell you, it's actually true. 1-for-20 against CC Sabathia. 1-for-20 with 6 strikeouts.
Oh, yeah, my only hit, too. DD fell, so he helped me out.
And you got an RBI, though, against him, so that's impressive.
Oh, yeah, that was my first series in New York that year, I believe. That was about the best story I have against CC Sabathia.
But you know what? Fine. You're 1-for-20 against CC Sabathia. You're hitting .417 against David Price, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good too. I don't know how I'm doing that.
And I don't know if you're aware of this. I mean, you probably not, maybe not the specific numbers, but you're 4-for-5 lifetime against Zach Britton. That's one of the best closers in the game.
That's luck, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, you gotta have some deep prayers before you go up to the plate against most of these guys in the big league. So thankfully my luck's been on my side against that one.
Yeah, it sure has, and that's a good sign in the American League East. With Devin Travis here, Grant is in Toronto. Grant, say hi to Devin.
Hey, Devin.
Hey, Grant, how you doing, man?
I wish you the best in your recovery, and I can't wait to see you in the spring.
Thank you.
I call in the radio show maybe once, maybe twice a year, and Mike, you probably don't remember me out of the thousands of callers, but my biggest concern with the club is John Gibbons, and I wanted to ask you what he's like in the clubhouse. Does he motivate you guys? Like, is he too hard on you guys? I just wanted to get your perspective on how Gibby is in the clubhouse. So best of luck, man, and thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Thank you, Grant. Clear it up, Devin, because there are a lot of fans out there, and I hear from them all the time that they just don't like Gibby.
Now, I just... You know, first, I think we all know that the easiest person to point fingers at when things go wrong is the manager. And, you know, that comes along with his job. I understand it. However, to me, Gibby is the coolest manager that I've played for ever. He always has your back. If you make a mistake, he's not afraid to let you know. But outside of that, he treats everybody like people, like grown men. And he knows that when we walk inside of this locker room, that there's business to take care of. And when we step out on the field, he believes that we put in all the work and we did all the preparation to, you know, to go out there and perform and represent the Toronto Blue Jays to the best of our capability. And, you know, anything that goes wrong out on that field, it's on the players, it's on us. And the reason why we didn't make the playoffs this year is on us. It's all on the players. And I get it that it's easy to, you know, to point fingers at Gibby, but I think that if anybody sat down and had a conversation with Gibby or sat with him in the locker room and watched how he went about his business or watched how he handled the players throughout the locker room, I don't think there's a better personality to be able to handle all the personalities that are inside of a big league locker room.
That sounds great. I'm really glad to hear that. We're with Devin Travis, taking your calls for another couple of minutes. Todd is in Burlington. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Say hi to Devin.
Hey, Dev, how are you?
Todd, I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I just got a question. Everybody, you know, who's the player that you looked up to when you were younger? You said, like, you want to model your game around. You're like, oh, that guy is, I wish I, when I get in the bigs, I want to play like he does. You know, you're 30 guy gets down, puts your forehead in front of a baseball if you got to, you know, bunt the ball one way to make sure they get what's done? Like, who's the one guy that you said I want to model my game around?
Oh, I grew up a huge Braves fan. Being from Palm Beach County, the Braves had their spring training down here in West Palm Beach, and my aunt actually dated a player when I was just a baby. So I grew up going to all the Braves games, and Chipper Jones was just the guy that I always wanted to be like. As a kid, I always wore my socks really high, almost above my knees, like Chipper did at one point. And I just loved how smooth he was out on the field. And, you know, he made everything look easy. He was in there every single day. He always played with fire. Switch hitter was something that I always dreamt of being. And I wish I would have listened to my dad, because it would have made things easier. But yeah, Chipper Jones for sure would be the guy I'd say.
Yeah, that's not a bad guy to model yourself after, I don't think.
Nah, he was a good one.
Thank you. And for not mentioning one of the Braves that the Blue Jays played against in the World Series, because we wouldn't have liked that, even though the Jays won, I guess. One more
that's
call.
Right. That's right.
We're going out east, Devin, even farther east than you. Connor is in Grand Falls, New Brunswick. Say hi to Devin Travis.
Hey, Devin.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, you?
I'm doing
great, buddy. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I'm 11, and I want to ask you, what's your favorite Little League World Series memory?
I like that question. My favorite Little League World Series memory would have to be my dad was the coach of the team, and he would always do backflips, and he was a pretty agile guy. And before the World Championship game against Japan, which we won't talk about the outcome, but I was doing an interview, and the crowd, you know, got really loud out of nowhere. And I was wondering what was going on. And sure enough, I turn and look a little bit, and it's my dad. The crowd's chanting for my dad to do backflips down the first base line. Right before the game. So there goes my dad flipping nonstop down the first base line for the crowd. That was really cool for me.
That's awesome. That's a tremendous moment. That's fantastic. I could do this with you for another hour, and you know what? I'd probably rather do this than actually go to the game, but we have to go to the game, which starts very soon with the Yankees and the Houston Astros. Devin, the tradition on the Blue Jay A Day pregame show is to send you off with something that'll put a smile on your face, some note about your season that you might not know statistically. Like, you know, you know you set the record for doubles in the month of May and all that stuff. But how about this? Did you know that in 2016, even in the shortened season, with two outs and runners in scoring position, you hit .350 with an OPS over 1,100. How about that?
That's nice. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. That's pretty cool.
Now we're just going to expect that from you, though, you know.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
All right, Devin, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and continued success in the rehab and working with Nikki. She got Stroh back on the field, and we're sure she'll do the same for you, and we can't wait to see you in Dunedin. You know, there's a lot of love for you up here, and can't wait to see you put together a full season.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'll be back, that's for sure.
Yeah, you sure will. Devin Travis, thank you so much. There he is, our Blue Jay A Day for today. Devin Travis, and again, as I said, coming in, legitimately one of the nicest and most human people I have come across as far as players are concerned.